So you also, in your write-up, talked about patients or trying to identify patients up front who maybe aren't going to do too well, so-called bad ALK. Like, what's that?
Well, so this is, where is the research field going to go? So we've talked about the clinical implications of ALEX and ALTA1L and lorlatinib and everything else. But what research questions arise? Well, so one of the things is, starting to realize you can't just play the numbers game. Brigatinib post-crizotinib looks better than alectinib, but in the first line looks the same. What is going on? Probably if you're going in before a mechanism resistance is established, the cancer is much more pluripotential. It can just flip to some other mechanism. And so I think our hope that, constantly moving these things into the first line would extend our benefit may be a little disappointing that we're seeing. I think when you look at the curves, though, the other thing we're starting to realize is that maybe there's two broad populations of ALK. There is a group who is in a plateau of non-progression. They are about where the median occurs, which is why that number jumps around. And they are going years. They are, if you like, the good ALKs. And, they have an unmet need, but we're kicking that can way down the road. The immediate problem is the ones who are progressing in the sort of 12 to 16 months range, before that median. And what is going on with them? Can we look at something upfront that says you're more likely to be in the kind of bad ALK category, or BALK, as one of my colleagues calls it? Maybe it's going to be P53. Maybe it's going to be a variant. Maybe it's going to be something else. But if we could identify those risk factors upfront, our potential to do clinical research in the first-line setting will be accelerated because our median in that group is going to be much shorter. Otherwise, we'd have studies that are going to look like breast cancer, and they're going to be out, decades before we get the result.
So I'm curious at this point, now that we've seen these data roll out over the last few years, when you look at the agents, specifically alectinib and brigatinib, that have come out and, quote, beat crizotinib up front, how much of that is CNS and how much of it is, quote, being a better ALK inhibitor?
I think there's a combination of the two. There's no doubt that probably the reason why alectinib and brigatinib are so much better than ceritinib in the first line, a lot of that is to do with CNS activity. And the supportive data is if you look in that first-line ceritinib study and you take the group that had no brain metastases, the median PFS of ceritinib is actually 2 years. It looks very similar to what we're seeing in these other studies. And its major Achilles heel is progression in the brain, even though it has some activity there. I think the idea of, you have some degree of early clonal equipoise such that you suppress one of these mechanisms and something else pops up. It's not true equipoise. You do delay it. But I think that has shortened the degree of benefit that we thought we were going to get. So I think absolutely CNS is very important, and that has contributed a lot to the benefit of these drugs. And then some of it is trying to suppress mechanisms of resistance. But if you can't suppress 100%, it's always going to find a way through.